The Lord bless you, YouTube family. Forgive us for being absent for a day or so, but it was worth waiting for. The Lord has got some beautiful things for us tonight. We decided, Ezekiel and I, to do a heaven talk because a lot's been happening with him and with me, as well as incorporating some of the things, visions and experiences and frustrations that a lot of our listeners have been having. So, begin with you, honey, and you want to share about your experiences with the Lord?
Well, I want to say hi to everyone. I haven't been on here for quite some time. I'm still kind of doing the behind-the-scenes thing, but I appreciate all your prayers and your love, and I particularly appreciate the way you guys are helping out each other and stepping in on the comments. I mean, it really makes it feel like a family.
Amen to that. It's been kind of like a few days of a certain tone, right?
Yeah.
That the Lord has had.
Yeah. For the longest time with me, I've not really seen or sensed or felt or heard the Lord as often as Claire. In that way, it's more by faith, but he's kind of become more vocal and my scriptures have been pretty much jumping off the pages all week long. He's been talking about two things in particular, maybe three, and that's our marriage to him as his spouse over and over and over again. And with that, how deeply and intimately he loves us as his bride, as his spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, the wedding banquet, the actual marriage and the wedding banquet.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I came around the corner the other day. I've been listening to some older classical waltzes because I can get kind of closer to them by skating a little, beginning to dance with them some. And a waltz really lends itself to that. So I just got all these readings about the marriage and the wedding supper of the Lamb and Song of Solomon, you know, my beloved. And I come around the corner and I have a playlist of about 26 different waltzes and marches and things. And I had it on mute. When I touched the button, I mean, this was like seconds after I'd put my scriptures down, touched the button, it's like on number 12 or something. The wedding march. Dum, dum, da, dum, 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 dum.
And you had been having, you know, doubts and fears and whatever about the rapture, right? About the wedding supper and
just,
the rapture happening.
Just in that moment, I was saying, Lord, are you really going to continue to come to us and speak to us? In fact, are you still coming to get us soon, like you keep saying? And I'm telling you, I walked right around the corner, and no sooner had I hit that mute button, out of 26 songs on there, the wedding march is playing. You know?
Amazing. Amazing.
Other thing he's been talking about a lot, obviously, is the rapture, is that he's coming. And I know that for some of us, it just excites us to no end, and to some of us, it frustrates us to no end, because it's like, when? But, you know, there's something about going through struggle and pain that produces a joy. And our service readings, we have a service every day. And our service scriptures for the last 3 days have been all about the passion, the suffering, the garden, the arrest, suffering, and crucifixion of Jesus. And through that, bringing us to the joy of the resurrection. So there, it's been a mixed bag with a lot of us in our little YouTube family this week.
Well, yeah, there's quite a few. I have some things to share with you on that point. As far as there's been some frustration for some folks who say they just are not hearing from the Lord. And no matter how many hours of prayer they put in, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but one of our emails today from one of our listeners She writes, I'm still having great difficulty establishing a closer relationship to the Lord. I've listened to all your videos and have been using your musical selection plus mine. And I dedicated an entire day to make certain that no one could interrupt me, and nothing happened. But, she said, when she went to the Bible Promises, the Lord gave her patience, and so I'm trying to be patient. But truth be told, at times I feel as if my heart is breaking. I did tell Jesus that I would bear some of the cross so that those feeling the wrath of ISIS in some way could have respite. It could be that. It really could.
Yeah, sure could.
his sorrow over the whole ugly business. Well, on top of that, you know, the ISIS thing is also the Supreme Court and the gay marriage law getting passed today. That is a real, real suffering. And that was when I saw the Lord and we were together today. At first, he was wearing the crown of thorns and the blood was just streaming down from one thorn that was above his right eyebrow and down his cheek. And he was just, he was so quiet and so distressed. We had one sister who wrote to us, you know, speaking about the Lord weeping and being in sorrow and getting the Passion Scriptures for the last 3 days. I have been getting them too. She writes, I heard the news about the passing of the gay marriage in all the states. I just sat there numb in the kitchen looking at my picture of the holy face of Jesus on the wall that comes so alive to me. Words were not spoken, more of a look that said it all. And I just had tears running down my face, feeling so bad for God. Then one word came to me, justice. Wow, that's a scary word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been getting his mercy, but justice is something else.
Yeah.
But I said nothing, really. It was nice out, so Jesus said, why don't you go out and enjoy some outside time, since the sun was out. So I sat on the swing we have in the shade, and I say prayers there, feeling God's presence and the lovely trees and all. I'd said a number of prayers, and it was hard for me to concentrate, so I started saying them slower, and that helped me. But I was still crying. I could not find the words even to say to him. I was sitting, and Jesus came over to me, and he sat next to me, and I just looked at him, and he put his arm around my waist and his head on my left shoulder and just cried into my arm, sobbing. And I could feel his body as it sobbed. And I told him, let these tears fall into my heart. And I cradled his head closer to my neck and shoulder to hold him while he cried. And my head was resting on his head with tears falling into his hair. I'm still teary thinking of this even now. I said nothing, just staring into space, too numb to speak or feel much. But he was sobbing, and it was so clear in this vision. It went on for about a minute or so. She was comforting the Lord. And then when I was dancing with him, he had the blood coming down his cheek. So that was her experience with the Passion. And just a couple days before that, she'd been out on her porch and praying, and Lord, are you coming soon? And a lightning struck 9 feet away from where she was sitting.
Wow.
And she felt, again, the Lord's justice. Yes, I'm coming, and there's going to be justice with my arrival. You know, this is the same listener. So that's sad stuff that we've been getting. But we have some beautiful things, too. One of our listeners had a rapture dream, and this was beautiful. As I was worshiping the Lord with music and praise, she says, I quietly fell into a deep sleep. The Lord began to give me a powerful dream of the rapture. I saw many people on the streets doing their daily activities like it was a normal day. I was there watching the people, and I was standing in the crowd, and suddenly, without a moment's notice, there was chaos all around me, destruction everywhere, and people running to and fro. Suddenly, I could literally feel my body going through some type of metamorphosis. It was like the skin of my body was melting off and I was being turned inside out with a new transformed body. It was surely a freeing experience, and it felt so real in my dream. After this happened, I felt my body literally shoot up into the sky, where there was a huge opening in the clouds. When this began to happen, I could see the sorrowful and disappointed faces that did not make it up in the rapture, and they were kicking themselves in the foot and saying to themselves, "Why didn't I listen to the warnings?" A couple of these people tried to grab my feet as I was going up, but the force of me going up was so great that they couldn't bring me back down again. My body shot up like a rocket into the sky, and it happened so quickly. Then I felt myself travel through the white clouds, and I could hear a whirlwind sound as I was going through those beautiful white clouds. What a trip. This was so surreal. The next thing that I see is that I'm automatically in heaven with the Lord, and he begins to have me paint with a group of other saints. We were painting and decorating these buildings on the outside with intricate designs as the Lord ordained it. He's so creative. Obviously, she's got an artistic bent. And there were so many people there that I didn't even know, and we were just having a great time completing the projects that we were assigned to do in groups. We were all serving the Lord with gladness, and there was so much peace there in heaven. And that was the end of her dream. That's beautiful, huh? And you had a rapture dream that was very similar to that, about you, where you said you could feel your body being transformed.
Well, I've had probably four or five up to this point over the last 5 years, but
recently, this was like within the last week and a half
over the last week and a half. I think you mentioned the one about the different lines and colored lines, almost like the river of life going through.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it was tied into that.
Yeah,
okay.
And then the Lord was in the middle, and as he came toward me the second time, thank goodness, because I tried to force it the first time, I felt that I was just being swept up into his body, but I could feel my body absolutely changing from the inside out. It was like it was just folding out.
Wow.
And this new body was coming to be, you know.
Wow. That's amazing. And it, you know, what it sounds like to me is that the real man, the real us, is the interior man.
Mm-hmm.
And this outer thing is just a tent. And it's almost like the tent is being taken off and the spirit man is being released.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And being given a new spirit body. And I had an experience today in prayer that was really beautiful. And I'd love to share a word with you guys, but the Lord really has not given me a word per se. But he gave me this experience, and I feel that it's for all of us brides on a different level, where these are some of the things that we're going to experience very soon. I had a really rough day because I was convicted about some things, and I had spent some time in repentance and crying, and that's kind of how I came into prayer. And Holy Spirit, he always comes in a decorated military uniform, in a white formal uniform with decorations on it. And he appeared in my vision as I was worshiping and invited me to dance. It was kind of hard for me to concentrate, but I started feeling better after a few minutes. Then I was dancing with the Lord in his long, soft white tunic. We were both wearing white. And he took me to a doorway where a curtain of semi-precious gemstones were hanging, you know, like a whole curtain from the top to the bottom of the floor. And as he moved the hanging gemstones aside, he parted them and we walked into this room. It looked like one of those Roman baths that you've seen in movies. It was like a long, long, long pool with beautiful, ornate tile work all around it. Just exquisite patterns on the floor and plants, lush plants everywhere, and the water was crystal clear. And the pool was decorated, even the tiles on the inside had patterns. And he bade me to walk into the water. So I started walking towards the pool, and I saw this very large angel with something like a palm frond in his hand. He put it in the water, and he stirred the water. And I walked into the water that had been stirred, and I walked all the way to the deep end and submerged myself and then came back out. And the Lord looked at me up and down and said, go ahead and go back in again. So I turned around and I started walking towards the pool. And as I did, the angel quickened the water again. And I walked into the deep end, and this time I spent more time in the water. And I came back out. And I'm sure this is some kind of a symbolic, you know, cleansing thing that, which I really needed at that point because I had done some repenting. When I came out, I stood before him and I became dry immediately. And an angel came with a large ornate glass vial. The Lord took the lid off of the vial and he put it onto my cheek and collected the tears that were on my cheek and then sealed the vial back up. And he said, it is full. And I thought, wow, it's full. That must mean you're coming soon. Afterwards, he was handed a crown and it was placed on my head. And it was a beautiful crown with amethysts in clusters of grapes. And all of us, guys, are going to have these crowns. The appearance of the crown and the design of the crown is going to be according to the life that you led and the joy that you brought the Lord. So you're going to receive a cleansing, and you're going to receive a crown. And then he put some special clothing on me, some kind of ornate clothing, and presented me to the people. And as his bride, the Lord is going to present each and every one of us to the people as we come into the kingdom. And we're going to be greeted by the great cloud of witnesses. Because here we are, the bride being taken from the earth. It's going to be a beautiful, wonderful time, especially for those of us who have suffered so much persecution and so much rejection in our families with our children. It's going to be such a wonderful time where our family finally embraces us in heaven. So that was a beautiful vision I had today, and that just brings to mind more to me that things are very soon going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was another listener that wrote in that the Lord had been dancing with her for days, and he never seemed to say or do much. She could see him and sense him and feel him, and he was just very peaceful and contented and happy. And made her very content and peaceful and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And for hours, they would just dance every day. And,
wow.
And it just didn't seem important to speak. In fact, he began a few days ago by inviting her to come to the ballroom, meet me in the ballroom, just like a chapter in our book.
Mm-hmm.
And so this went on for a few days, but
he's really needed that. He's needed to be distracted away from...
Yeah.
The things that are on the horizon.
I'm sure. On the last day, boy, she got the shebang surprise of her life. Instead of beginning to dance with her right away, they ended up behind this beautiful mansion on a river. And there were many guests there and like like Hollywood Bowl, a big bowl type of amphitheater area, and God the Father was there with a beautiful ornate altar, and there were some animals wandering around, and the Lord was on one side of the yard and she was on the other, obviously in her wedding garment, and he in his, and there's these beautiful overtures and things would begin to play here and there, and each time she'd look back they were getting closer to this altar, to the point where he literally took her hand, walked her to the altar. God the Father pronounced a beautiful wedding ceremony over them, a formal wedding ceremony. There were flowers and I don't know if it was rice or what they were throwing, but everyone celebrated. Mm-hmm. There was a beautiful carriage waiting for them. As soon as the carriage, kind of Cinderella carriage, started to take off, it got airborne. Airborne up in the air.
Wow.
And they end up kind of circling overhead over the mansion and the guests and waving and that. And this went on and on and on to where it was like, it seemed like he took her through a long, beautiful day of what their honeymoon was going to be like. I mean, they danced and they went through jungles and oceans and beaches and quaint little beautiful Greek village towns and things. In fact, they had a bungalow there, a little rented house, and it was almost like they could smell the fishermen's boat motors, and they could hear the talk down on the docks and these little side restaurants. And I mean, he just really opened it up for her, and she just stayed with it and stayed with it and stayed with it. And she wasn't sure about sharing it, but the Lord told her that he wanted this eventually.
Mm-hmm.
This was a foreshadowing. It was a preview. And she was just gifted with this grace. Now, I know many of you have worked and prayed for months. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." You know, there are people around the world who've left everything and lived 40 and 50 years in monasteries, places like that, that still don't necessarily see or hear the Lord the way we're talking about. But it's by faith. I can't stress that enough. It's by faith. They just believe and sense his presence. They believe he's there and that they're called to keep him company. I mean, these are people that maybe went in their 20s and lived there into their 80s, you know, and go on to be with the Lord. Can you imagine every day for 40, 50 years? But that's, it becomes the love of their life because he's the love of their life.
Amen.
But it's his timing, right?
I mean,
it's not ours. Even for Claire and I mean, it's not like this just started to happen to us a few months ago when we began the broadcast. It's been almost 3 decades that the Lord has been working this way in our lives with children, in missions, in regular work, in regular family time. There's a proper balance. You know, I would say, please be patient and don't give up. There's an order to things. You know,
yeah, when you have a family, you know, you can't spend as many hours in prayer, and the Lord doesn't want that. That would be disordered. I mean, I only got maybe 2 hours a day when I was raising my 4 children and homeschooling them as a single mother. I would get up at early in the morning. Of course, that meant I went to bed very early. I was asleep by 10 o'clock or by even by 9 o'clock, and I'd get up at 5 and get a couple of good hours in with the Lord and then have my day. So everything has to be in balance. And if anything's out of balance and you're neglecting your children or your spouse, then the Lord is going to hold back.
Yeah.
Because he's not pleased with that, you know.
There is a godly order, and we give God that first time, our first fruits. But then we go out to him physically present, and our wives, our husbands, and our children.
Right.
If we have a family and we're not in full-time ministry where the Lord is, you know, where we've given up everything and he's mandated that we just go out in faith. If we're living a regular family life that he's ordained, we need to support our family. The Lord will support the work, but he wants us to put our hands to it. So you don't necessarily have to enjoy it even. He can make it enjoyable, but you men out there, you really need to step up and cover your wives and your children and keep some occupation and some income coming in.
Well, and the Lord will give you opportunities to witness your faith to
Absolutely.
Other people.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a real act of humility to work a job that you don't necessarily like, but because you're dedicated to your family, which is the proper order, you know, for the Lord.
He wouldn't have given you your wife, your heartmate, your helpmate, your soulmate, and these beautiful children if he didn't mean for them to help form and shape your soul as well.
Absolutely.
And for you to help form and shape their souls. Blessed is that servant whom the master places in charge of giving the children their bread at the proper time. How blessed is that servant when the master returns and finds him doing so.
Yeah, amen. Well, one of the things, you know, that I have noticed is that there are those of us who really are called to carry Simon's cross. And like the one woman who wrote in and said she's just so frustrated. And then she says as an aside, now I did offer my suffering for ISIS, for the people who have been affected by ISIS. Well, you know, when we're in a position, and I think a lot of people who've had anointed prayer for illness, they've had really anointed prayer, they have strong faith, they've seen healings in their life before, but for some reason the Lord has not totally healed them. A lot of those people have been called to be Simons, to bear the Lord's cross for him, the Simon's cross, and to offer the sacrifice of a fast offering in the form of waiting for the Lord to heal them, waiting for his timing, his readiness to heal them. In the meantime, they are bearing fruit. They're not just lying there dormant and useless.
That's right.
Bearing fruit. Some of us, and the Lord had told us this last week, we are going to see more intense suffering up into the time of the rapture.
And it's solid gold. You know, he didn't just go to the garden, die on a cross, and raise up, and that was it. He suffered.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures say he was a man of suffering, acquainted with sorrow and pain. He took on our iniquities. He took on our sins. He didn't say this life would be easy. He said,
deny yourself. Take up your cross.
That's right.
Follow me.
And in this world you'll have trouble, mm-hmm. but be encouraged because I've overcome the world.
Suffering is from the devil, but the Lord uses it.
Well, the source of it.
Yeah, the source of it. But if you are using the Bible promises, some of the readings that you're going to turn up when the Lord is asking you to be an intercessor and to carry Simon's cross, some of you are going to get parents' duties when you open the Bible promises prayerfully, remembering, of course, to bind the lying spirit before you open the book. But you're going to get parents' duties, and that means that the Lord is calling you to be a spiritual parent for some of these people who are suffering. Or you may get salvation, or you may get eternal life as well. We've gotten those in times when the Lord was calling for intercession.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know whether to go to the emergency room or sit and wait it out. So we used the Bible promises, and of course we got patience and parents' duties, so we knew, okay, this is a suffering right now that the Lord needs to bring the gospel or to help for the conversion of a soul to receive him. So it's okay, this will pass. We don't need to go running off to the ER, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to qualify something too. And the other day, Claire mentioned maybe on the last teaching or the one before, we don't use the whole Bible, we use the Bible promises. That didn't mean we don't use the Bible, we do. This particular teaching that she was giving was about getting an enlightened word, a rhema, a word in season, because you don't always have the time to go through so-and-so begat so-and-so, and you know, the Old Testament can be kind of long and a little confusing. But there are deeper levels of discernment and prayer where you do need to use your Bible. The New Testament and the Gospels are easier, I think, to discern because that's actually Jesus speaking. But the Lord may speak to you right out of a psalm. The thing is, don't make it a study, but wherever you open to, there's probably going to be something on those two pages in front of you that's going to stand out. It's going to kind of hook onto your heart. You're going to feel it. But he does caution us not to be slothful, but to be diligent. Proverbs 27:23, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to your herds. Well, we may not all be pastors or missionaries or ministers, but we're certainly bearing, Paul said, I have begotten you in Christ. We're not only bearing fruit for the Lord, we're bearing children, we're bearing souls. We're either giving birth to salvation experiences by His grace. He's bringing salvation, but He's asking us to cooperate with that, to pray for it, maybe to fast and pray for it, whatever. But we're responsible for those souls because they're His children. If we're wedded to Him, if we're His spouse, those are the children that the bride and Jesus bear together.
Right.
And any wife is going to be about her husband's business, which, number one, is helping to take care of their children.
Absolutely.
So keep an eye on the sheep and the lambs around you. Even if they seem like they're unbelievers, He loves them, and He's got His mark and His hand on them to the last minute. You know, it's His desire that no one be lost. And there's lots of opportunity in practical ways, not just witnessing or quoting Bible scriptures and things like that, but just doing a favor for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Take them to the store, visit a nursing home.
Showing the kindness of the Lord.
Be Jesus. Be His hands and feet to a hurting and confused world. And the one that you reach out to, Paul says you could be entertaining angels unaware, but I guarantee you, many times that's Jesus at the door.
Absolutely. As Mother Teresa used to say, in the distressing disguise of a poor.
Yeah.
And that's why she was so wonderful with the poor, is because she really saw the suffering Christ under the appearance of the distressing disguise of a poor.
Lord, we simply come before You, thanking You that You love us more profoundly than we can imagine. We might not always sense and feel it, but it's by faith. You tell us it over and over again. Oh, we are so fortunate compared to the rest of the people around this globe. Most of us have more food and clothing and shelter than what we need. We have so much. And so give us a heart of gratitude, Lord. Protect us. Keep us strong in time of trial and temptation. Protect us from the enemy. Keep your mantle and your covering over us, just as You did for the Israelites with Your pillar of fire among them, Your protection and Your truth. We thank You and praise You, and we put out our hand to receive that ring as You place it on our finger, to be Your spouse, to be Your bride, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And we'll never die, so we'll never part. Father, thank You so much for Your Son Jesus and this bride that You prepared for Him, and the love that You have for Him, Father. And Jesus, the love that You have for the Father, how You just adore each other. And Holy Spirit, how You work in and through to give us life and life more abundantly. We make all these things in gratitude again, in Jesus' name.